discs for CD and drug abuse-related disorders in the parents. A greater likelihood of a disruptive home life and social disadvantage. Being raised by a single parent. Reduced parental monitoring. And affiliation with delinquent or drug-using peers by the teen with ADHD. As noted in Chapter 30, drug abuse and antisocial behavior seem to go hand in hand. Treatment. Refer to the treatment options listed for ODD. Also, get help for substance abuse if you have a problem there. And always remember that antisocial friends are no friends at all. Do what you can to exit a social scene that encourages crime and other antisocial behavior. Keep busy with hobbies if you must. Ideally, though, identify a better social network that encourages positive, productive activity. Does anticipating things you don't want to do make you extremely nervous? Do you worry about a laundry list of possible events all the time? Do you have any phobias? Extreme fear of spiders, heights, etc. Do social occasions fill you with fear, often making you cancel at the last minute? Do you hate speaking before a group? Anxiety. Anxiety can be hard to recognize. It's usually defined as a pattern of abnormal fears and worries, mainly unrealistic ones, often about things that will never occur. In your case, though, it may seem perfectly reasonable to avoid entering the same social situation in which you've been humiliated dozens of times before. Or it's entirely logical to quake in fear before addressing a meeting at work when the other times you've lost your place, forgotten your materials, or frozen during the question and answer period. Isn't it sensible to protect yourself from disasters that actually have occurred before? It may very well be, but that doesn't mean that you're not suffering from clinical anxiety that could be treated, making your life a whole lot easier. About a quarter of the kids with ADHD have an anxiety disorder, but among adults, the rate climbs to 17% to 52%. Our follow-up study of children with ADHD in Wisconsin showed that the longer you have ADHD as an adult, the more likely it is that you'll develop an anxiety disorder, too. I think it makes sense to assume that a history of chronic failure in various domains of major life activity could be to blame. But there may also be some shared genetic risk between the two disorders. Watch for new findings in the research news. Treatment. There are many psychotherapy treatments for anxiety, especially cognitive behavioral therapy, as well as drugs proven to help. Remember that the non-stimulant atomoxetine may be of some benefit, since it does not exacerbate anxiety and may treat it to some extent. Ask your doctor what's best for you. Do you often find it hard to get out of bed and feel exhausted even after plenty of sleep? Do you feel blue more days than not? Do you snap at people, feeling easily irritated? Is your appetite dead, or in overdrive? Do you feel bored with and uninterested in activities you usually enjoy? Depression. Yes, answers to many of those questions are clues that you may be suffering from depression. But the research on the risk of depression among adults with ADHD is rather mixed. So we can't say that you should be on the lookout for these symptoms, because you're strongly predisposed to become depressed at some point. Overall, the risk for some type of depression is more than 3 times greater in people with ADHD than in the general population samples we've used as control groups. Interestingly, unlike anxiety, my Wisconsin follow-up study showed that depression dropped to 18% by age 27. From 28% when these people were children. Research shows that there may be a shared genetic risk between the two disorders. That is, having one disorder in your family seems to predispose you to having biological relatives with the other. But the environment could be to blame, too. Both depression and ADHD are associated with a greater exposure to social turmoil, stress, disadvantage, and abuse. treatment. As for anxiety, there are many effective medications for depression, antidepressants, as well as proven cognitive behavioral approaches. A few studies have suggested that adults with ADHD might be more at risk for bipolar disorder, manic depression, but most studies, including my own, have not found this to be the case. Adults with bipolar disorder do, however, have a higher risk for ADHD. That risk is 20 to 25% for adult-onset bipolar disorder, 35 to 45% for adolescent onset, and 80 to 97% if the bipolar disorder started in childhood. 30. Drugs and crime. When I was a teenager, and even into my 20s, I was hanging around with a few guys who, like me, were looking for thrills on weekend nights. So we went bar hopping and did a lot of drinking, and often just waited for someone else in the bar to say something we didn't like or thought was stupid, and we would start a fight with them. I got into so many fights, I can't remember how many. We got thrown out of a lot of bars for doing this, and we often had some injuries from it. But that didn't stop us from going out again the next weekend. Maybe we were just bored or trying to show off for the women in the bars. But for whatever reason, the drinking just made us more brave, and also more impulsive, and we just did stupid things as a result. Once we left a bar after lots of beers, and saw a car on the lot with the keys left in it. One of my friends said, "Hey, let's go for a joyride." So we did. We were all liquored up and daring each other to drive the car faster, take it into fields or golf courses, and spin donut rings, and just tear ass around neighborhoods until we wrecked the car and got arrested for grand theft auto. Boy, we were young, dumb, drunk, and stupid in those days. And my impulsiveness just got worse when I drank. I'm surprised I'm still alive to talk about it. But one day I met a guy from high school who I knew and who just always seemed to have his act together and be on the right course. He talked me into trying an alcohol detox clinic where he volunteered to work as a crisis counselor. When I got cleaned up from the booze, I tried out and passed the fireman's exam and became a local volunteer firefighter after my initial training for it. That eventually led me to a paid job at the town as a firefighter. And then I met Karen, who's now my wife, and she really cleaned up my life and gave me a great reason to live, be straight, stay off the booze, get my ADHD diagnosed and treated, and keep my life together. All those guys I used to hang out and bar hop with are now in jail. I am the only one who made something of my life. There is no question that adults with ADHD are more likely to use various substances than other adults. Alcohol is the most frequently abused substance. Up to a third of adults with ADHD have or have had a drinking problem. But marijuana, cocaine or other stimulants, prescription drugs, and opiates, heroin, morphine, opium, are also abused, though at a slightly lower rate. The trouble is that the nature of substance use disorders, combined with the nature of ADHD, can make it awfully difficult to see yourself as having a real problem. People in the general population often take a long time to recognize that they need help and then seek it. With self-awareness limited by the executive function deficits of ADHD, admitting that you have and then addressing a substance use disorder can be even harder. If you're starting to wonder whether you feel bad despite ADHD treatment, because you might qualify for a diagnosis of drug dependence or abuse, this chapter will help you decide what to do. What are you getting out of substance abuse? Giving up a substance we enjoy, especially one that we've come to believe we need, is hardly a pleasant prospect. Most experts agree that people are often at least trying to get some positive effect from the substances they overuse or abuse. For many of us, alcohol relaxes us and lowers our inhibitions, often making it easier to be sociable and alleviating shyness. Nicotine and caffeine stimulate us when we're tired and need to focus. But these typical effects don't completely explain why adults with ADHD are likely to use substances more often than others, to the detriment of their health and well-being. Maybe knowing what you're getting out of the substances that are starting to be a problem for you will help you turn a corner that will preserve your health, or even save your life. Let's look at alcohol first. Alcohol. Alcohol does not treat the symptoms of ADHD. In fact, it could make them worse. After just a drink or two, alcohol lowers your inhibition, which means it probably gets you into even more trouble than you already have with your impulses. Do you make your worst impulsive decisions after drinking? Such as? So what could make you keep drinking? Impulse itself is certainly a candidate. If much of your social life takes place at bars and other places where drinks are served, it just might be hard to resist joining in. Is drinking typically at the center of your get-togethers with friends? Much earlier in this book, I said you had a lot of options for shaping your environment to manage your ADHD and take charge of your life, so ADHD doesn't take charge of you. Your friends are certainly a big part of your environment. Are they the right companions for you? Do you feel like drinking clears your mind of things you don't want to think about? After those first few drinks, alcohol is known to restrict one's memory for past events, creating a sort of tunnel vision that focuses awareness mainly on the moment. Perhaps that's what makes it so appealing to many adults with ADHD. It helps you forget your troubles and just live in the moment without a care for recent problems or future hazards. Alcohol is also known to reduce anxiety in some adults. If those things you don't want to think about make you anxious, alcohol may just ease your fears, at least temporarily. Marijuana. Like alcohol, marijuana is consumed in much greater quantities over the lifetime of adults with ADHD than other adults. Why? That's not clear to me. One possibility is that marijuana may be achieving a similar effect to that of alcohol, helping people with ADHD forget their miseries, focusing their mind just on the moment, and perhaps reducing any unusual levels of anxiety. We do know that those with a history of cigarette smoking are most likely to move on to using marijuana as well. And we know that adults with ADHD are more likely to smoke cigarettes than other adults, which leads to one of the most interesting findings about ADHD and substance use. Cigarettes and nicotine. Most people wouldn't consider smoking a drug use disorder, but I think it deserves to be viewed this way for a couple of reasons. For one thing, nicotine may very well be the most addictive substance on the planet. For another, we know that smoking comes with some of the deadliest health consequences of any habit we humans have invented, lung and other cancers, for example. Dependence on or abuse of nicotine is exceptionally common among a sizable minority of adults with ADHD, with their risk for current nicotine use being nearly twice that of the general population. Scott Collins, PhD, and colleagues at Duke University recently published a study that shows a direct connection between ADHD and risk for smoking cigarettes. Following 15,197 adolescents into young adulthood, they found a linear relationship between the level of ADHD symptoms and regular smoking. Specifically, the risk for regular smoking increased significantly with every additional ADHD symptom. Not only that, but the more ADHD symptoms the teens had, the earlier they started smoking. Caffeine is also considered a stimulant. Not surprisingly, we found that young adults with ADHD in particular were likely to consume more caffeinated drinks per week than young adults without ADHD. What makes it so seductive? Some scientists have suggested that this risk for smoking is a form of self-medication. Nicotine has a stimulant-like action on the dopamine transporter in the striatum of the brain. It's very similar to the effects of methylphenidate on that site. Smoking may actually treat the symptoms of ADHD to some degree. Here's a case, though, where the risk, for example, of cancer, far outweighs the benefits, especially considering that we have safe, legal prescription stimulants to provide the same positive effect. I took Ritalin for a long time as a kid. Some people have told me that's probably why I've developed a cocaine habit. Is that true? Some adults may wonder if having been treated for their ADHD with prescription stimulants as children may have predisposed them toward greater drug use and abuse as adults, especially involving illegal stimulants, or the illegal use of prescription stimulants. I've reviewed the literature on whether treatment with prescription stimulants leads to abuse of stimulants like nicotine, cocaine, crack, or methamphetamine. I can reassure you that at least 16 studies have been done, all of which have found no such association between childhood stimulant treatment and adult drug use or abuse. While one study did so, its results were not properly analyzed, and so probably yielded a false positive relationship between childhood stimulant use and adult drug use. So the overwhelming majority of the evidence is against such a risk. A few studies, including my own research, showed that being treated with stimulants for ADHD in childhood may actually have protected a child or teen from engaging in certain types of drug use as a young adult. The effect was a pretty weak one, however, and has not been found consistently across studies. So it's not clear that early treatment can reduce drug abuse risk. But what is pretty definitive is that early treatment with ADHD medications does not contribute to a greater risk of drug abuse later in life. Continue listening to find out more about why you might be using cocaine. Cocaine and other hard drugs. Use of illegal drugs like cocaine and meth, or abuse of legal prescription medications, could very well be an attempt to self-medicate ADHD, as with nicotine, since they are stimulants. Talk about a wrong-headed decision. These drugs, and all the negative consequences of addiction to them, are literally killers. Why would you choose a dangerous illegal substance instead of a safe legal one? As mentioned earlier, use of cocaine and other hard drugs is associated more with conduct disorder, CD, and antisocial personality disorder, ASPD, than with ADHD. Research clearly shows that teens and young adults with ADHD were likely to use substances excessively, where using or abusing illegal substances are also the most likely to engage in various antisocial or criminal activities. Let's say you have a crack habit. How are you going to buy these expensive drugs? You may turn to stealing money or property to obtain the means to buy your drugs of abuse. If you drink alcohol excessively, you may be more likely to get into fights with others. And in both cases, you may be more inclined than others to carry and even use weapons. Similarly, if you engage in certain criminal activities, such as stealing or fighting, you may be doing so with others also prone to antisocial behavior. And those people are more likely to be using drugs and may influence you to do so. Another link between drug use and antisocial criminal behavior is impulsivity. The more impulsive you are, studies show, the more likely you are to try an illegal drug on a dare, or even a mere suggestion. The same appears to be true about the likelihood of engaging in illegal activities, crime. The more impulsive you are, the less likely you are to consider the consequences of your actions. The more likely it is that you'll yield to a whim or a dare to go along on some criminal misadventure, like breaking into a house. Then we have the kind of social group you hang around with in your spare time. As with drinking, if you pal around with people who are likely to be involved in illegal activities, they may influence you to do the same. Gangs are the most extreme example of this kind of negative social influence. But it doesn't take an organized group like that to exert an influence, especially with ADHD to egg you on. All you may need is a couple of antisocial, drug-using friends to be pushed in this direction. Our research found that yet another contributor to the risk for engaging in criminal activities is a person's level of education. People with ADHD, who had less education, especially if they did not graduate from high school, were far more likely to be doing antisocial things than people with ADHD who graduated or went on after high school to further their education. Finally, there's the severity of the ADHD and its persistence from childhood to adolescence. These factors had a lesser effect, but were still important predictors of the likelihood of engaging in certain types of crime in adulthood. The type of crime most associated with ADHD in my research was using, possessing, and selling illegal drugs and stealing money to buy drugs. About 1 in 4 people with ADHD, at a minimum, are likely to have drug use and abuse issues as adults. Are you sure you want to be among them? Avoiding, or getting out of, the trap of drug use. For the substantial minority of adults with ADHD who have substance use problems, 20 to 30%, drug detoxification and rehabilitation programs are likely to be recommended. It's difficult to treat your ADHD when you're abusing drugs that can make your ADHD worse or lead to other psychological problems in their own right. If you're not getting much benefit from attempts to treat your ADHD, consider whether you need to tackle a substance use problem first, or at least simultaneously. Aggressive treatment of the ADHD is still critical, no matter when you start it. Change your environment if it's leading you into activities that are making your life worse. Look for new friends. This is one reason 12-step programs like AA are so attractive. They provide a new social arena for those trying to start new, a substance-free phase of their lives. Choose leisure activities that don't center on bars. Get educated. If your education was aborted by ADHD, get back to it now. A better education means better job opportunities, which can mean not only better opportunities to make a living legally, but also removing yourself from living every day on the margins of society. Substance use and criminal activity, no matter how minor, are major pitfalls for those with adult ADHD. Steer away from them now and start leading the life you deserve. This concludes Taking Charge of Adult ADHD by Russell A. Barkley, Ph.D. Narrated by Paul Costanzo. Copyright 2010 by the Guilford Press. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with the Guilford Press and was produced in the year 2017 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright there too. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks and to take advantage of special offers.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.